Ephesians 4, 7, 11 to 16. God has given each one of us different talents and abilities. He calls us to use these talents and abilities as social workers, ministers of music, children's workers, campus ministers, missionaries, pastors, and in many other jobs. In these vocations, we are to help prepare all of God's children for a life of service through the church in the world. As we work together in the church, we should come to a greater understanding of our God and what He wants us to do in the world. We should never again let our talents and abilities be corrupted by institutional trivialities. Rather, as mature men and women, we should learn to exemplify Christ by speaking truth, righting wrongs, and loving persons. Maybe then, the church will begin to be the creative, redemptive force God wants it to be in the world. And maybe then, other persons will begin to experience the wholeness in Christ which we now know. And 1 John 3:18, Baptist students, our love is inadequate if we just discuss its characteristics at student week at Glorieta, New Mexico. Genuine Christian love becomes reality when we begin to do rather than just talk. Like all Americans who travel abroad, the pastor from Baltimore, Maryland, took along several cameras and several camera bags. He had a camera bag over his left shoulder, one over his right shoulder. The camera bags were so large and of a color bright yellow, you would have thought that he was a mother with twin children, and he had a diaper bag over each shoulder. He had gone throughout all of the Orient, like all Southern Baptist pastors do when they're on a mission trip, supposedly preaching the gospel, taking pictures to bring back to his church. And like all Southern Baptist pastors who do that, there finally comes that one night back at the home church when the entire congregation has to sit through 5,444 slides. That evening had come in his church, and he had planned his presentation well. They had been there now for almost an hour and a half, and they were a bit weary, but he had really done well and almost choreographed his presentation with the slides. He came to that last slide, and it was flashed on the screen, and there was a pause, and in a very devotional tone, he showed the picture of a small child, and he told the story. The picture was of a little girl, possibly age 6, but she looked about 3 because she was suffering from malnutrition. He said that he had been walking along one of the very narrow streets in the city of Hong Kong. He had seen this girl, sound asleep, with her face against a bakery window. She was emaciated. Her hair was falling out in patches. There were scabs on her body from malnutrition. Her stomach was bloated. And he took the picture. He said that he assumed that she was from one of those families that had come out of communist China as refugees, possibly one of those who lived in a refrigerator box somewhere on the slopes and the side of a hill. The congregation was moved. The picture had impressed them with the needs of the world. When the lights came up, most of the people were in tears. A dismissal prayer was said. He packed up his slides and got in his car and headed home. His wife hadn't been on the trip, and this was her first time to see the slides and hear the stories. They'd driven about 4 blocks, and she hadn't said anything to him, and he hadn't spoken either. And finally, she looked over at him and, with her left hand, very tenderly touched him on the right shoulder and said, "Honey, what did you do for that little 6-year-old girl in that last picture?" And the pastor said he pulled the car to the side of the road, and he began to sob. For he said he realized that all he had done had taken her picture and brought it back to show to his congregation to tell about needs. "In my pocket at that time," he said to his wife, "even in just change, was enough in coins to purchase rice for her family for a month. If I had reached into my billfold, I could have given her enough money to supply the family with food for perhaps 2 or 3 months. Or perhaps I could have gone with her to see if there was more I could do for the family. But," he said, "all I did was to take a picture and bring it home so I could tell people about the mission needs in the world." This week at Glorieta might just be that kind of experience for some of us. We've talked an awful lot about the world, about sharing our faith, about the needs. But is it possible that this weekend you have been simply a photographer, taking a picture of the world, and you can go home and talk about Glorietta in glowing terms, and you can describe it in every way, and you can describe the great mission emphasis of the week, and about the needs of the world, and you go home with your photograph album of pictures. I think some of us this week maybe have been gardeners, because I have seen you headed at, I never understood how you could do all this gardening at night, but I've seen you headed to the gardens at night. I think some of us this week have been just rocking chairs. You know, sort of like that place that you like to go and sit back in a rocking chair, and you feel very comfortable, and you put on your slippers, and you get your pipe, and you lean back, and you begin to rock, and it feels so good, because the speakers this week have said things you agreed with. And so you've leaned back, and you've written your notes, and, you know, it really feels good, and it really feels comfortable. And then some of us this week have been theological vultures. You know, we probably sat in the balcony most of the time, because vultures usually do. And with our King James Bible, we have sat there listening to the speakers, wondering why they don't use more scripture. We have condemned perhaps the man who taught the Bible because he didn't say things like we have always thought it ought to be said. And somehow we have sat here this week as a theological vulture, unaware that God also speaks through human experience. I've got to say very frankly, because of some things that students have said to me this week, I think some of us have appropriated the words of the Word and not the truth of the Word. Some of us this week have been sponges. We have soaked up so much, and we just hope that sometime during the year we'll be able to wring some of this experience out of ourselves before all of this experience evaporates. Now, some of us were sponges last year, and we evaporated before we even got home. And we're hoping that this year we can hold just a little moisture till we get there. And then some of us have been sunsets this week. You know the beautiful sunsets at Glorietta? There's this sort of a warm glow about them, isn't there? And I have heard some of you say this week that, oh, you could just wish you could keep the warm glow that you now have all through the year back on your campus. And some of you said last year you got it here, but it was gone before October. And you had to go to a BSU convention in your state to get another warm glow. And you have to wait then till spring retreat to get another warm glow. I have a feeling some of you just have heartburn. When are we going to learn that the Christian faith is not just feeling? That it also means that I have some good feelings now, but there are going to be many times when I don't have the warm glow. And that I'm going to have to commit myself to work, to ministry, to witness. Even when I don't feel good. Even when I don't feel that warm glow. And then I think most of us, and especially the campus ministers, you don't get off. Program people, you don't get off. Probably these people have been here this week as program experts. Sitting in every session, because I have, sitting in every session wishing they had done it another way. And thinking how much more effective it would be if we do it like we did 10 years ago at Glorietta. And I've been one of those people. And I want to just throw out a challenge to the National Student Ministries Department that one year we keep saying that music and drama speak for themselves, that the arts and media speak for themselves, but you keep inviting people like me to speak. I would like to see us one year in our worship services do creative worship services using music, art, drama, media, film, dance. Are you with me after that word? We've had Kathy Pickle here all week long, who's a professional choreographer from Los Angeles, California. What a tremendous worship experience we could have some year with Kathy as part of the program right here in this auditorium. But I really wonder, and when we do that, let's use all these things and let's plan it far enough ahead that when you leave here, every program we have in here, you can have all the materials to, and you can take them back to your campus, and you can do them on your campus and do them in your church. So I'm not sure who you were this week. Maybe you found yourself there, maybe you didn't. But I want to take you into just a moment, into a Broadway musical, into a movie which you know, and give you a word. It's the musical Hello, Dolly. Do you remember the two guys in the store, and one of them's Barnaby, and he ain't too smart? And they began to think about leaving Yonkers, New York, and going off down to the big city of New York City. And finally, his friend says to him, Barnaby, there's a great big world out there outside of Yonkers. There is a great big world out there outside of Glorietta Baptist Assembly. There is a great big world out there outside of your Baptist Student Union. But frankly, friends, we like to get together and rejoice together and feel good together, and most of the campus around us goes without Christ, goes without our love, goes without the ministry. I want you to look at your world, that great big world out there. This summer, Burl Redd and I wrote a musical work called Reconciliation. We performed it, premiered it in Stockholm at the Baptist World Alliance. In our choir were people from all over the world. Two couples came from Copenhagen, Denmark, 25 to 30 years of age, two couples. Every free moment we had when you needed a drink of water or go to the bathroom, here they would come to talk because they were so excited about the possibility of music and drama being used in witness in their country. The next week, Burl Redd and his family and I were going on to Copenhagen. They said, good, we'll meet you. There are lots of things I didn't get to see in Copenhagen, because we spent most of our time with them. One of the couples, we went with them 30 miles out in the country, outside of Copenhagen, to the small village where they lived. The houses had thatched roofs, a very humble home. But in that experience around the table, as we ate very meager fare, they talked about their country. Denmark, are you ready for this? The whole country has 2,500 Baptists. There is a state church, very few people with any Christian commitment. And this young man and his wife say, some way we've got to get the gospel to the people. The next evening, they took us to a concert, which this couple and another had raised the money to provide. They brought in the Continental Singers. The Continental Singers did a concert, not in a Baptist church because there aren't any large enough. They got a free church building. They contacted other Christians in Copenhagen. The church we met in that night, although the auditorium is large, no one can remember in the last 10 years ever having had more than 90 people in a service. With the music advertised on radio and television, between 800 and 900 young people showed up that night for the concert. I will admit to you, I wept as I looked and I watched those two young couples who sat, perhaps all of their savings for 2 years given to bring these people in. Later that night, over a cup of coffee, they said to me, do you all ever do anything like send people to help other people? And I told them about Benton Williams and the team that was traveling behind the Iron Curtain, and I said, yeah. And maybe next year or the next, and he began to say, is it possible, and I want you to hear what he said, is it possible you could send us a musical group that could come and witness and minister? Now hear him, because I think it may be a part of the heart of foreign missions. Don't come to superimpose the American way upon us. Come help us discover new ways of getting the gospel out to this godless land. There's a great big world out there, and you can ignore it, or you can walk into it, you can be creative. I remember being in Cairo, Egypt, in the Nile Hilton Hotel, you know, the great hideaway for Americans. You go to a foreign country and then live in an American hotel. We had just had a sumptuous meal, much larger than we should have, when this lady, a great, wonderful lady, active in WMU, we'd been on tours for 2 days around in Cairo in the slums of the city. We'd seen much poverty, children begging, and this lady said, as we got up from the meal, I can hardly wait to get out of this place. I can't stand all this poverty. It is so depressing. There's a great big world out there that needs you. Maybe some of you need to consider right now, with world hunger what it is, I'll change my major. Maybe you ought to consider going into nutrition or agriculture. Or maybe you ought to go into education and say, I am willing to go overseas somewhere in foreign missions to teach, to help. Under God, I can't believe it's right for us to have all we have to experience this week and go back to our campuses and never get out there where the people are. There's a great big world out there in the world, in America. And there's a great big world out there on your campus. The other night, first night we were here, I was sitting up in the balcony and I saw some students seated on the last row, and then some other students came in, and right in the middle of the service, somebody screams and they hug. I came down after a while before the service ended because I had a responsibility back here, and I noticed some other students who came in late, and someone saw them and they were running up the aisle and they hugged each other. That's a great experience, isn't it? That's part of the Christian life, isn't it? Have you ever thought of how many students there are on your campus who ain't never been hugged? And who won't be unless you reach him? I was at a preschool retreat. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Steve came and said, "Man, I got to talk to you." 4 hours later, I was still listening. And this is his story. He's from one of your campuses, and some of you know him. And I asked him if I could share it. All through high school, I was a big man on campus. Athlete, academic scholar. I came to the university on a gymnastics scholarship and an academic scholarship. I had a high school sweetheart, and we married the freshman year of college, and things were going great. Top athlete, top in academics. Our marriage seemed great to me. I thought everything was going fine. Then last Mother's Day, it was Saturday night, and after my wife got off work, we were going out for dinner. But she didn't come home from work. And I called the store, and I didn't get an answer, and I waited a while, and she still didn't come home from work, and so I called a friend of hers, another girl who worked at the store, and the friend seemed a little bit upset, but she said, "Now, don't call the police. She'll be home after a while. Just don't worry. It's okay. She'll be home." He said he sat throughout the night waiting for his wife to come home. Finally, at 6 o'clock in the morning, he was so upset and so disturbed that he decided he would call his wife's boss at the store, who was a single young man. He called her boss's apartment, and in a very sleepy tone, his wife answered the phone. The young man that was talking to me, his wife answered the phone. And when she said hello and realized who she was speaking to, there was a long pause, and then she said, "I don't want to be married to you anymore." And he realized his wife had spent the night with another man. Divorce proceedings began, but he said that day, Mother's Day Sunday, was shattered. He went and got some beers and came back home and got as bombed as he could. Monday morning, he had to get up and go to school, and then right after lunch, he went to work at a supermarket. 2 hours passed, and he did his responsibilities of stocking shelves, and there was another married student there who happened to be the Baptist Student Union president on that campus. And he said, "I never told him. I was too ashamed of what had happened because," he said, "I felt that I had not done something right. Why would my wife do this?" And he said, "Then, after 2.5, 3 hours, I knew I was upset. I didn't know what was showing. And my friend, who happened to be the Baptist Student Union president on my campus, came up to me, put his hands on both my shoulders, looked me straight in the eye, and declared, 'Steve, buddy, I don't know what it is, but can I help you carry the burden?'" And he said, right in the supermarket, we sat down in the middle of the floor, and we cried together while shoppers passed with carts. I explained. He said, "My friend didn't even call his wife first. He just said, 'You're going home with me tonight for supper.' I went home and I spent 3 nights at their home. They talked to me. They shared with me. They tried to help me see that life was worth living, that I could rebuild. They talked to me about the person Jesus Christ and how he gives meaning to life. And then when I left on that third morning, they didn't give me a Bible. They gave me a copy of The Taste of New Wine. Because," he said, "I had said so much about what I didn't like about the church. They said, 'There is a different church.'" And he said, "I became a Christian." And he contacted us this last year about missionary service with the Home Mission Board. And he said, "Can you take somebody who's been divorced? Or does it mean that my life has been ruined forever?" And it was great to be able to call him and say, "Steve, we'll take you." There are students on your campus who've never been hugged. There's a great big world out there. Are you going to go and just take pictures of it and come back with the photographs? Are you going to walk into your world and witness and minister to people and share the love of Christ which you know? Are you going to just be a photographer and take pictures of your world? Are you going to walk
out to the ends of the earth.